You are now tuned in. Let's go to the Queen of the Trap podcast.
Class and session, bitches.
Welcome, everybody, to the Queen of the Trap podcast. I am your host, DJ K-Dev, and today we are live from Puerto Rico, and I'm with a very special guest, and my special guest is DJ Hot Rod. What's up, DJ Hot Rod? How are you today?
How's everybody? I'm just honored to have the opportunity to be interviewed by the Queen of the Trap, DJ K-Dev. She's out here moving and grooving, and I'm so excited to see what she got in store for us today on this dope interview.
Absolutely. So a little bit of DJ Hot Rod. Where did DJ Hot Rod come from? What town, what city? Where do you reside?
Okay. Well, I'm from Queens, New York, Jamaica, New York, South Side, Jamaica, Queens, like 50 Cent and the rest of the gang and all that.
All right.
But you know, that's what's going on. I'm currently living in Long Island. Still putting things together, as far as like maybe borderline Queens, Long Island, I'd be honest with you. But I'm still in Queens, man. I love New York City. I've tried other things, but definitely not like New York. So we're here just striving. If you make it here, you make it anywhere. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you could still consider Queens, Long Island at the end of the day, because it's not technically New York City yet.
A Long Island girl would say that.
Because like we're part of Queens too, you know. So what was it like growing up in Queens?
Well, that was pretty good. I mean, I lived in Far Rockaway, Queens. Okay. That was a little rough and tough. I lived in Long Island City, Queens, where in Queensbridge, Ravenswood, Astoria, Woodside. Shout out to Long Island City. And, you know, I reported back to South Jamaica, where I'm from. And just, you know, it's a nice place to be.
Okay, I didn't even know you. Actually, let me ask you that. So what are your nationalities? You said that you're from South Jamaica originally.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm folks are down from the South, Florida.
Carolina, we let us down.
You know, but you know, I'm not mixed any much. I can't tell them. You know, I tell people I got Indian in my family. You know, you can see a little. You know, but mostly just, you know, African American background. Like I said, my dad was a DJ, so you know, I'll tell you a little bit more about how I got into it. You know.
Okay, so how would you say growing up in Queens is different back then compared to now?
I want to say things changed a lot, you know, in Queens growing up. I want to say back then it was more or less like, you know, you had the older guys, and they was teaching the, you know, the young boys how to be a man and how to, you know, treat women and things like that. Nowadays, unfortunately, with social media, everybody's just like, you know, leaning toward what their favorite rapper and or artist or athlete is doing, and that's just what it is. So I want to say it's a little harder now because people, you know, the youth is being a little, they're not being instructed the right way.
Yes.
By the right role models, unfortunately.
We need a little bit more artist development out here. We were actually talking about that yesterday, but we definitely, there needs to be a lot more artist development, and we need to be working with all of the, because we have more knowledge than these people do right now. And actually, we're going to get into that because you have been DJing now for a long time.
Yeah.
If they didn't know.
About 20 joints. I started DJing professionally at the age of, I want to say about, I don't want to tell you my age, but I do want to tell you I've been doing this for about 20 years. Since like 2000,
okay.
2000, 2002, I started throwing my own events and DJing all kinds of, I know, teen parties in Manhattan. And then before you know it, I'm in a club scene, and then I'm kicking the butt to the older DJs in the club scene just because of the creativity and, you know, being, you know, working in the city and hearing the best of the best do it. And I borrow stuff a lot. So, and DJs and people don't think borrowing, you know, things that you might have heard and recreating it is a bad thing. If you're a musician or a DJ, just use, you know, what you hear that you like and get great at it and keep reproducing. That's just what my, you know, that's my goal. You know, always trying to stay fresh, always trying to stay hot, you know, just stay hot. You know, that's my, you know, DJ Hot Rod. That's right.
Absolutely. Now, what made you want to become a DJ?
Well, my dad was a DJ. I grew up into it. He was always making a whole bunch of noise with big ass speakers and stuff like that, and the records and the crates. And I'm like, why am I carrying all this stuff? I don't even know what to do with it. And then he taught me at the age of about 12, 13.
Ooh.
And by the time I was 16, I was, you know, legit, you know. So he definitely showed me the ropes of how to mix. I started mixing house music first because that's kind of easy. Doom, 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 doom. You know, can't go wrong with that too much. And then before you knew it, I was mixing all different type of genres. So.
Yeah. What would you say that your favorite genre of music is to mix? Like,
my favorite genre of music to mix would have to be R&B. I think R&B is dope. It gives people a natural good feel.
Okay.
And everything else is a piece of cake after you get that down.
Now, what kind of rappers or artists were you influenced on growing up? Because like you said, you're from Queens. You're obviously from New York. You're a New York DJ. So what are some artists that you grew up listening to?
Okay. Since I talked about the R&B thing and being heavily into that, like Sade was one of my favorites.
Okay.
Maxwell was one of my favorites. These are all like classic R&B folks. Then when by the time Mary J. Blige and 50 Cent hit the scene, how he was running, went going from mixtape journey to, you know, his movie, and then everything was glitz and glamour from there. I like the way he goes, you know, to his bankrupt many millions of times, but then he's very well invested, you know, with his business. So that's a whole nother thing as far as the artist development thing that I think that artists need to know. It's like, once you get there, then what? You know, you don't want to be an MC Hammer where you get a whole bunch of money, you got a whole bunch of people you run around with paying a whole bunch of bills and not growing your, you know, brand outside of your hit record. You, after you get the hit record and get some dollars, invest that cash right away into, you know, someone else or the next top hot artist that's coming up, or, you know, give some, you know, reach back down the ladder, grab somebody up. It keeps you alive. And it keeps you motivated, I'm sure.
Now, how did you get your name DJ Hot Rod?
Well, my real name is Sherrod. And I just felt like that wasn't going to fly. So I tried DJ Rod. And then that was like kind of too plain. And then I started DJing house parties. You know, I would rent people's apartments out that wasn't like, you know, looking for a couple of dollars. And then before I knew it, I'm doing $1 parties. I got 500 kids coming in and out. And then I was sweating in the kitchen DJing. And one of my guys said, "Hey man, I came by your party. You were sweating in the kitchen. You need to be DJ Hot Rod instead of DJ Rod." And it just matched the script because I definitely do bust into sweats once I get, you know, DJing and getting things get a little intense.
Now, how would you say that your career actually took off?
I would want to say my career took off when I started to take my DJing a little bit more seriously, like showing up on time to events. Demanding, you know, the attention of the crowd. I'm the type of guy, like, if I'm not on yet, I'm walking around a party, introducing myself, finding out why people that are on the sidelines or sitting on the sidelines, what are their favorite records, what would get the room going. Like, I want to work on the hardest, you know, person to get going. If you could get the toughest, you know, party goer hyped, then you definitely going to get the people who came to party excited. So that's just one of my things. And I felt like once I took that serious, like I said, I was able to shift the room a little bit, make people feel my energy as far as what I'm bringing to the table. So that's been my main thing. And I've been doing that for a while. And just the consistency of that alone, it catapulted me into a different, you know, stratosphere as far as this music thing is concerned.
Now, what would you say is the hardest part about working in this industry? And what is like the best part about working in this industry?
All right. The hardest part about working this industry is knowing when to say no, knowing when to not take a gig. Knowing when not to work with somebody who might bite you, and you know they will. You said the easiest part too.
Well, what's your favorite part of working?
Well, my favorite part of it is the fact that I get to get up when I want. I get to go to work when I want, and I get to create some of the ideas and or events in my mind and make it come to fruition with a little bit of attention to detail. So that's pretty much it. Oh, I knew this was going to be dope. I had dreams about this being what it is, creating the moment, you know?
Now, you're technically a celebrity DJ, correct?
Oh, that part of it.
So, I want to ask you a little bit about that. So how did you become a celebrity DJ? And if you can, name some people that you've, you know, worked with or DJed for, or you threw parties for.
All right. So I'll tell you. This is how it went. I met my good friend, Eddie O. Shout to Eddie O Party Worldwide. We have our company together now. Originally, when I worked with Eddie O, I was just a DJ opener for like a club, Lust Love, stuff like that. We was doing strip clubs, and I was just good to bring in because I could bring situations. Like, I'm gonna have a good relationship with artists, so I would bring them to these clubs. And eventually, when the big DJs would get there, sometimes they only Hollywood stuff, they only would play 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and they weren't really excited about playing music for the big artists that were booked. They were more interested in going next to them, hanging out, taking pictures, doing all that stuff. And I was more interested in, you know, what do they want to be played? You know, what songs do they want to be played? How do they want to make it work where the crowd can get the best experience for with the artist being there? Sometimes when artists come into a room, the DJs might start playing their music right away. They didn't even sit down yet. They didn't get a drink. They didn't get comfortable. So working closely with the management staff and understanding what the point of the artist is and making them feel comfortable enough to put on a little bit more of a show than they expected, that is what made me like the go-to celebrity DJ guy you want to work with. Because not only am I gonna make the crowd dope and excited, but I'm gonna make sure the artist is comfortable and they're going to give the people the right experience for their fans.
That's awesome. And I've actually experienced that with you firsthand. You've done some like underground artist venues and showing off showcases and stuff like that. So I see that you make your artists comfortable walking in and, you know, show them a good time. Don't just like attack with the music and all of that. You give them a minute and then, you know, you really put on a show. Now, I want to hear some of these people that you worked with, because I know you just did a fire party.
So yeah, let's get to some of the people that you worked with.
So
the last week we went over, we've done events with Nick Cannon. We've done events with Joel Santana, Jim Jones, Dipset, Fabulous. Some of the great artists that I've came across were Don't Tell Me Again. Here we are, Shinsia. She's really fortunate right now. The relationship with her fam. But the artists, they really just respect the consistency. The more they see you out there working and not being groupied out, you know, for them, that's when they jump off the stage and say, you know what? Let's take a picture. You know, I'm like, what? You want to take a picture with me? So the first time I met Fab, I went over to his camp and I just wanted to ask, hey, I know Fab is here. And what would he like to be played? And then they understood that I wasn't coming for a picture. I really cared about what material we were working with, because that's my department. My department is not, you know, doing a media, social media follow and then take photos thing. And then that was that. That was the first time. And then I tried to get a picture with him and he took a picture with me, the owner and the promoter, which was cool. I wanted my own look, you know, mm-hmm. I wanted my own, you know. Yeah. So the second time I met him, it was a DJ that was on, and then I was playing. And then I believe when he walked in, I was on a stage and I just was like, you know, explaining to them, like, hey, let his DJ get on. Let's do this, that, and the third. And when people see you in more of a directive role and not, like I said, doing the most, he respected that. So the point where after his set, he came out and grabbed me up and took the photo. And those cool conversations I have with the artists about not so much of what they can do for me, but more what they can do with me, it really is the key, you know? So if I get that, kudos, you know, this guy's dope, or that drop, or that celebrity drop here or there, it's bigger than a photo. Because when I'm DJing, I've been playing your music all the time. Yep. Thank you so much for that drop. Because when I'm playing, I build up the confidence in the room by letting the folks know that's enjoying with me, you know, what stature I'm at, you know, as far as like, you know, getting that, yo, you were rocking with DJ Hot Rod,
I'm just throwing on drops and all of that stuff. Now, what else did I want? I have so many questions. If you're just tuning in, welcome to the Queen of the Trap podcast. I am interviewing DJ Hot Rod.
We're in Puerto Rico.
We are live from Puerto Rico. I'm so happy to be doing this with you today. But I have a couple more questions.
Okay.
Let's see. What else can I ask you? I had a question and I had a brain fart. So.
That's all right.
This is raw and uncut. Like I said, we're literally live from Puerto Rico.
I got a question to ask you.
Okay, ask me. Right? Yeah, I'm good. It's my platform.
I mean, I've been working, you know, and I've been hearing you working, and you know, I'm really just ignoring. Like, when did you like fall in love with this this trap rap music? Is that embedded inside of you, or somebody put you on?
Okay, so this is something actually I haven't gotten the chance to talk to you about. So I was in fifth grade. I always hung out with the boys. Like, uh-huh. I was always like a little tomboy, and I'd hang out with my friends, and they always had the subs in their car, and they always put me on to like mixtapes, and I was listening to the subs in the car, and the, you know, the Jeezy, the 2 Chainz, and uh-huh. all that stuff.
That bounce,
and
I was that 808.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, fuck yeah, like I love this. Like, and so it's from fifth grade on, I just like, I fell in love with it. And that's where the love for the trap music came. And then like, I was always going to, I'm a concert person. I will pay any amount of money to pull up to your concert, whether I'm meeting you or not. I love live music. So nice. that's kind of accustomed to how I like got into like, oh, I want to meet this artist now because I just went to your concert, and oh, mm-hmm. I want a video drop or a DJ drop. But mostly I would have to say it was being around DJs my whole life, because like shout out to YDJIC, like I was around them for so many years, and then they gave me for Christmas I got my first controller, and I was like, okay, what do I do with this now? I have all the music. I've collected 10 years, 12 years of music.
You've been grabbing that music from early.
I told you, he saw one of my hard drives recently, that LimeWire, FrostWire days, Dat Piff live mixtapes.
I remember those days.
Shout out to Pesh at live mixtapes, because we're going to hook you up too. We're going to get you an official DJ account. I'm going to talk to Pesh about that for you. Nice. But so I also wanted to ask you, I had a question in my head and I lost it. What would you say the most rewarding part of this career is?
The most rewarding part is when people come in and say, hey man, I didn't expect to have such a good time. I had an amazing time. Thank you for bringing in my birthday. Thank you for my anniversary party. Thank you for making my baby shower indoor wedding like so significant and special. So that is the best part about it. Like, that's the best part about it. People look at you and say, hey, you know, you're an amazing DJ. And I look at myself as being more of a, you know, musical therapist than DJ nowadays, because of so much time and experience. Like, I know what people need, you know, not what they want all the time. So sometimes they're like, I'm coming for the turn up, but they don't realize it. In order to, you know, really enjoy the turn up, you need to get a good, you know, warm up. You need a good warm up. You need to wind down, you know, sometimes, you know, after doing all the hey, you know,
you need to
find a girl, maybe you need to like slow dance, you need to like do different things so you can appreciate, you know, your best times, you know. And so that's just a whole nother thing, you know, another element that I like to bring to the table as far as like just changing the vibe, you know, of the room.
Do you have any other business ventures aside from, like, we know you're a DJ, mm-hmm. but do you have other business ventures going on?
Yeah, like right now, currently, we're working on the New York City tours on the, from Skyport Marina. So we're doing tours every Friday, Saturday, and sometimes Tuesdays. And we basically work on, you know, 6 to 10, we do rides, and we basically put on a great show for the folks traveling into the New York City area. And as far as the local, in the locals too, everybody's welcome, it's public. And that's one of the businesses we have running. Also, we're working on an app right now where we'll be streaming live, playing, and then it's for artists, it's for unsigned artists. I enjoy the new music. As a DJ, you should know, like, you can't just play the same old things.
Yeah.
Sometimes people like to experience new material fresh off the press, and everybody wants to be a judge. Like, you know, what'd you think about it?
Yes.
You know? And people look forward to that. And that's the question. So you understand.
I have my own.
Everybody has an own.
Queen of the Trap podcast. You know, I have my music review show. So I be reviewing music by artists all the time. One of the biggest problems that we have is that when we're streaming artists that are already signed, we need your consent in order to be playing it, so that it's not, we're not getting the copyrights, we're not. So this is an app where he's going to be able to stream music for the underground artists that, you know, like, you're not,
it won't be interrupted.
It won't be interrupted. I mean, my show, you see guys, all the signed people, your music gets blocked. out a little bit. We want to eliminate that eventually. And here's the start to that, because he's giving you a platform now where all you undergrounders, and hey, you never know, it might take off to where
you never know who's
we
listening.
Get we can get those artists, those mainstream artists streaming on your stuff and not have those copyrights. So anything is possible, especially when you're in this industry. But what else? What does your normal 9-to-5 look like? What time do you wake up? Right. Do you right. eat breakfast? What do you do?
For the last year, I've not been punching the clock, which is amazing.
Yeah.
That was a decision I had to make a while ago. I worked about 18 to 20 years in the field with people with disabilities, and that was my main thing. Like my mom did it, coming up, and I was introduced to that population from a young age. And 13, well, it's when I turned 21, my younger brother, he came out and he had autism, but that was cool with me because I'm so used to working in that field. That was one of the things, and I got something out of it. I love doing things that I get something out of. I'm helping somebody else, and it was a good feeling every day. Of course, aside from me doing what I do to make people feel good by night, which is the club scene in my music therapy, aka DJing every club, party, whatever, if the situation's right, of course.
Absolutely. Now, if there was 5 people listening right now that you could work with and you had the chance to work with them, DJ one of their parties or hop on a track or you want a video drop from them, who would those 5 people be?
I still think that I would like to do some situations and events with my boy Diddy. I think he's just the man,
Okay.
He has the coolest parties. He's still known to, steal his son's girlfriend. So, all that stuff factors into, my kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's still cool like that. So I'm looking forward to working with him one day, just to DJ one of his events, make his head spin. And then I also would like to do some work with, and this one's going to be a shocker because I already worked with 50. I would have said him. But we've done several events already.
50's biceps are bigger than my
fucking head. Let me tell you about my 50 Cent experience so you guys can know what this guy's like. So 50 knows who I am, I'm sure about that. We're both from South Jamaica, Queens. You can't not know DJ Hot Rod if you're from New York City. There is other Hot Rods too, but they do different type of events. And if you know what I'm talking about, it's a way bigger difference than what I'm doing. Big up to you too, brother. Keep it going. However, when I first met 50, the very first event, I was at a club and he walked by me he had like 3 big security guards. On the way out the club, he just like bumps me like this, like on purpose, like boom. I'm like, oh shit. And then his security like comes over looking like, and I'm like, and he's laughing. He thinks that's funny. I'm like,
you're like
50, that's not funny. They'd have pounced on me just now for thinking I'm trying to start with you. He thought it was the funniest shit in the world. He walked out the door. The next time I seen him, we were at an event and that's when he came up to me and, he actually was making his way to the stage at Stereo Garden. Out there in Long Island.
Oh, shout out to Long Island.
Was there for, I think, my boy Eddie O's birthday party. I think it was Fabulous and 50 Cent that night. One of the biggest nights they've probably seen. However, when 50 came down, this is the part that really got me. So it was another DJ from a radio. I'm not going to mention his name. He was on the set. These guys want a DJ. Yeah. The moment got so big. When G-Unit is coming down, that's not just 50. It was 50 Cent, it was Yayo and everybody else in G-Unit. So they was making their way down and the DJ was like looking at me like, I'm like, well, go ahead, it's your time. But 50 came down, gave me the dap, and then immediately after he gave me the pound and he went to the crowd and he started popping that weird liquor that he has. I'm not going to promote that, but I think it's, what is it called again?
I forgot.
No, tell me.
Branson. Branson.
Yeah,
Branson.
He's popping Branson, he's pouring it out. We had so many cases.
DJ Selfie,
right?
Holding it.
So many cases of that
stuff.
It wasn't the best taste. Anyhow, he's popping the bottles and he's pouring it out to the crowd and the ladies going crazy. And the DJ looked back over at me like, yo, Hot Rod, come here, Hot Rod. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, get on, I need you to get on. I'm like, right now? I'm like, 50 Cent is up. Just play some G-Unit. This is easy. But sometimes as a DJ, when the moments get hot and you don't know exactly what to do, and this is the part I talked to you about earlier, you're not really prepared to know what the artists want or what they expect.
It's all about reading crowds and what they want.
Right. So I just immediately got on I typed in G-Unit, I seen Yayo, I seen 50, I made sure I hit their buttons on their songs and kept it moving, and they just partied, and Yayo got on a mic, and he was just, you know, hosting alongside me. Yo, Hot Rod, spin that back, or Hot Rod, let me get this, and then we're killing it. I mean, we're killing it, and these are the things that I don't, you know, I'm a celebrity DJ. No, these guys, they give you that if you're ready. You know, if you're ready, then that's what it is. Can't make this stuff up.
This is actually going to be my next question, because you are a little bit out here. So there's upcoming DJs underneath you. Who are the DJs that you would give them a shout out, or who have been working really hard in New York, or even out of New York, if you want to name some New Yorkers? All right.
So I got a couple of guys that I think that,
aside from myself, you know,
because, I mean, come on, Dev. I don't even want
to know.
I can't tell them what we got in store yet. You know, that's
for the folks. We have something coming. We thought of something yesterday. It's going to be
great. No, that's going to be good. We can't.
We're not going to tell them.
So once again, I got to give this quick shout out to a couple of good DJs back at home in New York City that I think really, you know, they set a good vibe. You know, I always look for the people that can, you know, I can take a break and they could be there and hold it down for me if I'm not in place to do my thing. So I got to shout out my boy Jonah from New York. DJ Jonah in New York, he's hot. Cool little Mexican kid. You probably never think he spins the way he does. He does his thing, though. Dope with the Spanish, crazy with the hip-hop. He just plays it all. Also, I want to shout out to my boy DJ Esco. And now he's a DJ, official DJ for, don't tell me, Dexter Daps. He's like West Indian, but he can play some music. So shout out to my boy DJ Esco. He's just hit my phone a little while ago. Hey, Hot Rod, you got the Taco Tuesday up and you're in Puerto Rico. That's not even happening today. So shout to you. I appreciate that. And also look, you're on the lookout again for DJ K Dev. You know, she's here and she's about to rock and roll.
Every Friday, Flex One, DJ K Dev, we're at Secret.
Yeah, we're gonna get you. I mean, we're gonna hook you up with some more spots too. Don't you worry, Dev.
Yes, we need that. But I'm going to actually be DJing with him on some boating events soon.
On the yacht. This Friday. We're celebrating your birthday earlier,
pre-birthday vibe.
So make sure y'all come out and get a little trap vibe on a yacht with that girl, Kate Dev. We're going to set that up for our real nice section. Make sure y'all get your tickets from now if you don't know.
Get your tickets.
You know, just visit hotwetrust.com. We're going to have
Tell everybody what outlets you're on, what's next for you.
Uh-huh.
We kind of talked about a little bit what's next for you, but, you know.
All right, let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
So check it out. Be sure to follow me if you're not already following me. I'm not sure. I think that the followers on Instagram can go to like a billion or something like that. Or more. But anyway, check this out. Be sure to follow me at DJ Hot Rod on Instagram. I'll be the number one guy. Just once you type in DJ Hot, I should be at the top.
Top
every time. You don't have to go too far. And also do remember, I'm on that Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the real DJ Hot Rod on Twitter. Also the real DJ Hot Rod on Instagram in case my other one goes bad or you guys try to hack me or something weird. But I'm really out here.
Okay? Instagrams nowadays.
You gotta have the backup. Mm-hmm. The backup page is okay. If I'm following on that, you're in tune still. So
yes.
All right, going straight to my phone. However, all you artists out there, I want to let you know, if you guys want to tap in with me and submit some music, be sure to send that to inhotwetrust@gmail.com.
Yes.
Once again, inhotwetrust@gmail.com. Submit your music, say, you know, Hot, this is something you should hear. I'll get right back to you with a nice little email, situate you maybe at some events, endorse some spins or some sort of situation, make you a little bit more popping out here on a platform. All right.
Absolutely. Now, what's next for you?
All right. So what's next? Sheesh, man.
We got the app coming.
The app is coming. It's already up. But
there's more yacht parties.
More yacht parties. Okay. More concerts, more shows. We're gonna start doing
clothing brand.
We have a store. TTW headquarters located on Linden in Queens, and we're selling merch out of there now for a lot of up and coming. You know, if you have your clothing designs or something you want to get a display in the store, just hit me up on Instagram. Let me know you're interested. The In Hot We Trust shirts are there. The official DJ Hot Rod shirts and memorabilia will be in the building soon. You know, we're gonna do some fashion. We're gonna get back to the bowling thing. Talking about that. Speaking of that bowling.
All right, should we tell them about it?
All right, go tell them.
We'll tell them before. All right, so we got a little secret going on. We're gonna be working on a trap and bowl. So basically, we're gonna set up a bowling like event or like a league.
Unlimited
and,
bowling.
Yeah, unlimited bowling. But we're all gonna play all trap music, and we're gonna pick a day during the week.
Where it's boring, we're gonna make it lit.
We're gonna make it lit. So stay tuned for that. But I thank you, DJ Hot Rod, for allowing me to interview.
Thank you for having me.
And this is the Queen of the Trap Podcast. We are live from Puerto Rico, and we are out.
Oh.
Thank you.